our friend here says, okay, I'm just getting caught up with your podcast. I've been trying to watch every episode from the beginning. Appreciate that. Wow. Yeah. Ever since I heard your Bob Murphy interview on his show, then you can listen to the same one on our show. So that's really cool. And that's really where I first became aware of you and just listened to episode 59. And you mentioned how Nancy Piercy says, how many churches don't answer hard apologetic questions? So his question is this. So where is a good place to address apologetics in the church? The current setup seems to be, well, if you feel like going deeper, there's a lot of apologists you can study. But what about those people who don't think that they need to go deeper or those not thinking about it at all? Where do I, as a pastor, deal with that, especially when I myself don't feel particularly equipped to deal with apologetic questions? Because there's hundreds of things we need to address in the church, sound doctrine, exegesis, sanctification, morality, and can feel a little overwhelming to hear, well, and also you need to do this. So coming from a pastor's perspective, but also this is something that could be encouraging for you if you're wanting to start a apologetics ministry in your church, or you encourage the discussion in small groups or with your children or wherever it might be. So we wanted to kind of muddle through this and see if we could provide some of our ideas and see if we can help out with some of this.
So let's start with, how do we integrate it, or how do we make it part of, we want to start there.
Yeah.
So the first thing that comes to mind is there's a couple of approaches that one can take. First, you can kind of carve it out and make a special deal out of it, right? This is our apologetic course or whatever. And so go through a number of things. And if you deal... if you decide to do something like that, then, there's two ways to do something like that. You can either find the various passages in the scripture that allows you to walk through Paul, Peter giving commands and that sort of thing. Scriptures that come to mind, John chapter 4, Jesus and the woman at the well, what a tremendous teaching we get there on how to, deal with someone who has a somewhat different worldview,
right?
And how to bring them along and that sort of thing. A tremendous teaching on apologetics. Mm-hmm.
I can worship over here. You say worship over here. Yeah, what do we do?
Acts chapter 17, again, Paul on Mars Hill, that's a tremendous opportunity to teach people about worldviews and how those and the approaches and what Paul did and that sort of thing. So we can, make it a separate deal, right? And teach it that way. The second way to do that would be to grab a book. He mentioned Nancy Piercy's book, right? Or Greg Kokel's book.
Tactics.
Yeah. So in any of the books like that, if you want to make it a special deal and then deal with that in Sunday school or, maybe a Wednesday night class or whatever. What we've been doing in our church is I've been going around the various, we call them life groups, but they're Sunday school, adult Sunday school classes, and teaching through Greg Kokel's book and portions of Nancy Piercy's book. And I call that, the apologetic session. I do that for several weeks, and now everybody's being exposed to those ideas and methods and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So that's making it a special deal.
Yeah, right? I'll shoot it to your elders and lay elders. So that's the easiest way. Yeah. Delegate. That's all about delegation.
The other way is just incorporate it and make it part of, your preaching and everything else that you're doing. So you're preaching through a passage, it deals with something like this, and now you spend some time talking about, worldview issues or, how to talk to people. So you're preaching through, obviously, I just mentioned Acts chapter 17, but there are others, Job. If you want a good exposition on the problem of evil, take a look at Habakkuk, right? Preach through that. That will give you a tremendous view on the problem of evil, right? And how he attempts to work through those types of issues. Right?
I got encouraged to read Job because of this, and then I'm just like, man, those friends were doing good for so long, and then it just crumbled around them. And oh man, like I know Job is going through a lot, but my goodness, do you need 46 chapters to complain, man?
Yeah. So that's one way to try to, you know, how do I get it in? Well, you can make it a special deal and teach it that way, or preach on it, or have a special class on a Wednesday night, or maybe even a Sunday evening, or Sunday school, life group, whatever you call your adult, you know, or even high school teaching. Or you can incorporate it into a sermon series or something like that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So be kind of that traveling apologist, and you can point to our videos as well. If I mean, you're not spending the amount of time that we did on Greg Kokel's book, you're doing like one or two. You're kind of hitting the main points. You're kind of introducing the ideas, the main points, and maybe role play within that confines. Or you're saying, what are some of the things that you experience out in the world? Let's talk about that within the confines of this text. So having that set aside and having that sanctification process, because as pastors, as elders, as people that are encouraging people in the church, one of the things that we want, including with sound doctrine, exegesis, sanctification, morality, is going to preach gospel. And your preaching the gospel isn't a new exposure to people. People kind of know what Christianity is for the most part, and they're going to come at your congregants or you or whoever it might be with certain ideas or questions or responses. And so you kind of collecting those and saying, okay, if someone were to say this about, well, you know, isn't just Jesus one of many gods? You know, that's the process you're already doing of apologetics. It doesn't have to be this great big, you know, okay, from the year zero to the year 2000, here's how people traditionally held to apologetic views. And I mean, there are good books for that if you want to follow that and everything. But for the most part, I mean, the command is to be ready to give an excuse. There's your apologetics. For the defense, reason that you have, for the reason that you have, mm-hmm. And so that's not that. There's no office of apologist. That's everybody. That's the Christian. The Christian is to be ready. And even if you don't, if they don't know the answer, you know that
you can say that. Right?
Yeah, right.
It's okay to say I don't know the answer. That's one of the things
that Greg Kokel brought up in his book is, you know, if you don't know,
but I can look it up and get back with you, right?
Tread on the goodwill. Understand that a lot of times you're not just interacting with, you know, the hard-nosed atheist that is shaking his fist at you and saying, you know, you guys killed more people in the Crusades than anybody. Well, okay. And on the opposite end, too, is that I think we've put these ideas in the background to deal too much with things that we think is important, because people are approaching the Bible and coming to church, and they see, okay, here there's a verse missing in Mark. Where did that verse go? Oh, it's in the bottom. Well, I wonder why it's there. Why is it not included within that? Or in 1 John, I believe it is, there are three in heaven that testify: the Father, the blood, and the Spirit. Why is there a note next to that? So, the Bibles that are being printed, the study Bibles, address it within there, and so people are probably approaching the Bible. That you're studying about the longer ending of Mark. What, you know, do you teach it? Do you not teach it? If you're doing that study, then other people are probably noticing as well. So, is my pastor going to preach on the longer ending of Mark, or is he going to talk about it? Well, if he doesn't talk about it, there, you know, do other people know that that there's questions about that? And if they run into somebody out in the world that says, you know, oh, you want me to come to Christianity Explored, where you go over the Gospel of Mark in a kind of 5-week program. They say, well, you know, don't you know the longer ending of Mark? It was thrown all over the Bible, and we know it's not original. So you're equipping your congregants, your fellow church members, whoever you might be in the scenario, with a quick answer for that. So that's part of what you're you should make part of your study with that is understanding that the questions are already out there. They're already being asked. And especially more now so in the world, you're not, you know, the message of the cross is there. You know, you can kind of formulate it, but it's when you're addressing people from different religious backgrounds or different, you know, people who have understanding that there's no such thing as objective truth. And so you, if you're not dealing with that within the confines of the church, you are missing part of the whole sound doctrine part of it, as you're rightfully saying the church should address sound doctrine, exegesis, sanctification, morality. That's included in this. So
yes, addressing sound doctrine to a certain mm-hmm. extent is doing apologetics, right?
Right.
It's especially if you're, you know, looking to correct error and that sort of thing, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.